This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello, everybody. I'm Louise Eddington, the Cosmic Owl of Cosmic Owl Astrology, and this is my Weirdly Cosmic podcast for the first eclipse of two as we head into eclipse season. So we're going to be taking a look at the astrology of the lunar penumbral eclipse that's on March the 25th at 5 Libra, and we'll look at the chart for that. But we are also going to have a look, as usual, at a card and the numbers and the symbols, but also some other thing. I'm going to look at the Saros cycle as well, which is really important with eclipses. So before I dive in, I would like to invite you, please, to subscribe to my channel, give me a thumbs up, leave me a comment. I love to hear from you. I love engagement, and so does the algorithm. The video gets seen more the more engagement I get, so it would greatly help me as well if you would just at least give me a reaction and subscribe to my channel. So thanks for that. Right, let's dive in. So first of all, I pulled a card for the eclipse, and I pulled it from the Tridevia deck. Again, there's a link in the description. If you want to buy it for a discount code for if you buy it with my link. So there it is. The link's below. This is the Tridevia deck. It's based very much on the Rider-Waite tarot, but it's absolutely gorgeous. And unfortunately, the cards are very glistening and don't always show up very well on Zoom, but I try to show you. But some people have bought the deck and, you know, they say it's far more beautiful in person than I can show on Zoom, but I try. But anyway, this is the card I pulled. Okay, so if you can see, this is the Temperance card. Look at that beautiful gold-winged angel. This is card number 14. And you can see the beautiful water below, and I hope you can see the other symbols. There's a cup there. Okay, and let me tell you what the Temperance card is. Now is the time to reflect on things that are out of balance in your life and stabilize them. Be gentle and kind to yourself. Go with the flow of life and stick to that which brings you the most peace. Do not rush. Be moderate in everything you do and take things lightly. Calmness and harmony should be your priority. Be patient with yourself and with others and follow your higher purpose. The affirmation for this card is balance and peace are my priorities in life right now. And of course, that brings me to my favorite topic, which is self-care. So I'll be talking a lot about self-care as we go through this eclipse. But it's actually quite a nice eclipse, but it's at 5 degrees Libra Aries because it's a full moon eclipse. So the moon is at 5 Libra and the sun will be at 5 Aries. And I just want to quickly talk about the number 5. So the number 5 is said is the most prevailing number in nature and art. It's related to the five-pointed star of Venus, the pentagram, and here we have a Venus ruled eclipse because Libra is ruled by Venus. So five also is, we've got five digits on each hand, and it's related to the stigmata or the five, symbols of the cross as well. And Venus is, very related to this kind of energy. And five is multi-talented. It's about very many interests. It's also a very attractive kind of number. It's free thinking, fast moving, a lot of change as well coming with five. I think that's all I'm going to say about the number, actually. So let's dive into the astrology because there's quite a lot to say about that. So here's the chart. I'm going to get that up for you, and I'll get the PDF up that I have kind of marked out here. And again, don't forget to subscribe, all those things. Now, we had a new moon eclipse back on October the 14th, 2023. And in some respects, 6 months later, we've got a Libra full moon eclipse that is a bit of a fulfillment of something that began last October when we had the last sets of eclipses. But we've also got a lot of things that are relating back to that time that's very Venusian. So I'm going to look at a few things like that. But first of all, I do want to tell you that this eclipse is from Saros series 113. It's an eclipse series that began back in 1501. Now, eclipses run in series. They start at either the North or the South Pole and run through and eventually end. And this eclipse, as I said, began in May of 1501. This one began on the North Pole, and the eclipse series will not end until 2745. That's from the wonderful Bernadette Brady in her book, The Eagle and the Lock. But this is a Saros Series 8 North Eclipse series, in her book. And I will tell you that, when this eclipse, the first eclipse, when that happened in 1501, that was really a new moon eclipse squaring Uranus and was on the midpoint of Mercury and Venus. It had some very strong aspects in it. But what she says about this eclipse series is that this characterizations of it, or characters of this, or hallmarks, are inventiveness and flashes of genius, are the hallmark of this Saros series. We'll all have individual and intuitive leaps, insights, good ideas, visions, or vivid dreams. This newfound inspiration will pull us away from our social life or relationship, causing strain in the private life in with some relationships. And this, of course, will affect you the most if you have energies that are affected by this eclipse. This is a time when we need to be free, but I take that to mean that we need to focus on that self-care because we are moving to the Aries energy of the I am. We are finding this core self. I see the astrology as a journey, which is why I write daily and try to help you stay and work with the cycles and the rhythms. I've talked about it a lot on my Substack blog and in my videos that we are in a time of tremendous shift and change. And we've had the Chiron conjunct the North Node. You can see they're still in orb on this eclipse. The North Node is on the Aries end of this eclipse, on the I am end of it. And there's a lot here that's saying, this the focus of this is in your own self-actualization, your own self-acceptance, your finding of your core self. And that doesn't mean you kind of ignore your relationships, but we'll come to what that means in a little bit with the symbols. But it is a big message of freedom, innovation, big ideas coming through, or learning a lot about yourself. And a lot of it is a fulfillment of things that began quite a while ago, but particularly during the last lot of eclipses. So kind of what's come up for you over the last 6 or so months? Remember, with eclipses, we feel them coming, and eclipse energies unfold over the coming months. So even though this is a full moon eclipse on March the 25th, 2024, at 3 a.m., almost exactly Eastern time, so that would be 12 midnight, midnight on just a few seconds after midnight Pacific, 1 a.m. for me, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. in the UK. That's universal time. Anywhere else, you'll have to work out the times for yourself. Timeanddate.com is amazing. But really, this is a continuation of learning not to play nice for the sake of things, not to be codependent, not to really kind of, you know, give yourself away for the sake of compromising for others. That doesn't mean you can't ever compromise or be diplomatic, of course, but it just means you are releasing that kind of codependent energy, being reliant on those you are in relationship with, not just love partners, about what they think of you, or keep playing nice just to appease, and so on and so forth. This has been a journey we've been on for quite some time because of the nodes being in Libra. And look at this, they're right at the middle degree of Libra now. So we are on a turning point in that way as well. So not only is this a full moon where we're really looking at those relationships, with the sun shining the light over onto the moon, saying, how do you feel about these relationships now? Are all these relationships working? Are there some relationships that you perhaps need to release and let go of? And that's okay, in order for you to be yourself, or at least release attachment to certain relationships. But some relationships may need to be let go of, but also it's to go back to Bernadette Brady's words, it's time when the person needs to be free, if only for a few weeks. Well, you need to give yourself some space, all right, during this eclipse to find yourself. And bear with me, I knew she was going to do this. My lovely darling cat is asking to just go out. So I'm just going to pause. I'll be right back. I knew she would do that again. That's my lovely Luna. I'm talking about the moon, and she always shows up when I'm talking about the moon. So we'll talk more about that in a little bit, but other things I'm going to talk about during this. So that's kind of a general overview of what this full moon eclipse is about, shining both the lights on who am I and who am I in these relationships, and are these relationships working anymore, or do I need to change the balance to go back to the temperance card that we pulled at the beginning? Do I need to change the balance of how I work in a relationship, rather than some let go, maybe some changing the balance? But of course, the most important part is the balance within yourself. So other things we'll be talking about before I take the chart off the screen and just talk is that Vesta, which is your inner flame of focus, commitment, devotion. I love to visualize this flame here as like this literal flame within myself. You know, it's kind of this core sense of being, your core hearth, okay? And this is opposing the galactic center again. Vesta has been back and forth opposing the galactic center twice before because she went retrograde. And that's all happened in the last while as well. The other things I will be talking about are because this is an eclipse, and an eclipse is always a new or full moon close to the nodes. This one is 10 degrees away, which is why it's a penumbral eclipse. It's not a full lunar eclipse or total lunar eclipse. It is still connected to the nodes. And the nodes are at 15 degrees, and we have a lovely trine aspect Cariclo. I'll talk about that. We also have a quincunx to Venus, which is the ruler of Libra. And also she's in here and exalted in Pisces and conjunct Nessus Centaur. I will talk about that too. We've also still got Chiron, her Cariclo's husband, conjunct the North Node. Those two have been traveling together for a little bit, and they're still just within 3 degrees before they really start to separate out. So this is still a continuation of a journey. And Chiron and his wife Cariclo are talking to each other by aspect as well. One last thing that I'll mention right now is that Mercury, the messenger or the transmitter of information, because Mercury has this trickster energy that really kind of crosses boundaries, is conjunct Eris. And Eris is the truth teller or pot stirrer, or SHIT stirrer, as I like to say as well. And she, these two are in a lovely aspect as well to Hecate in Leo. So we've got quite a lot going on the eclipse, even though there's not many aspects directly to the eclipse. So apart from the conjunctions with the nodes. All righty. So let's dive in. So I mentioned that there's not many aspects to the eclipse. You know, that there are some wide aspects, like the moon is in a trine aspect to Pluto in Aquarius, which means the sun is in a sextile aspect to Pluto. There are a couple of, you know, really out of sign aspects as well. But really, this is a pretty unaspected eclipse, which puts a real kind of focus on the moon and sun. But of course, we still have Chiron on that North Node. So, but this is, to my mind, this is really bringing a great focus into the topics I briefly brought up before already about this really kind of healing yourself, finding that core self, doing that parts work or the internal family systems to reach your seat of consciousness. Aries is the I am energy. I always think of it as the toddler of the zodiac, or the bursting out after birth, kind of unsullied, fresh, very raw energy. Aries brought out into the world, kind of saying, hey, this is who I am. And then over our lives, we build up these kind of layers of protection. We get hurt. The parts are exiled. We have, you know, to speak in internal family systems language. We have these firefighters and these managers and these exiles that all kind of split off or protect us or manage and try and control things so that we don't get further hurt. And underneath all that, is this kind of toddler self that came into the world all fresh-eyed and going, here I am, kind of thing, knowing who you are. We kind of lose that over a long time. We're all in this collective journey again of finding that seat of consciousness. But we're also collectively, to my mind, finding that seat of collective consciousness as humans, as I love to say it now, WHOOMANS, Who am I? Who am I really now in this world that's changing so much? Because so much has changed in this world right now. And then we have that the moon in Libra, as I mentioned. How do I feel about the relationship with myself, the relationship with that seat of consciousness? How am I finding that inner core and finding that sense of balance within, that sense of temperance to go back to that card again? Yes, it's here. So let me just make sure I'm sharing that because I'm looking at my chart. Yes, so that sense of balance coming into kind of core between heaven and earth and bringing everything in between. And you could also say, because it's Venus ruled and it's a five, coming into balance with that five-pointed star, which is so resonant of the human, the head, the four limbs, two legs and two arms, which is the Venus, how the Venus star point works within you, incidentally. So, you know, there's all those kind of things too. And then it's Venus ruled. And Venus is in the sign of Pisces by the time of this eclipse. I'm recording this on March the 8th because I had to record it early because I'm traveling for the next 5 days. That was kind of the timing of the trip was unexpected. So anyway, I've recorded this early. Venus is in the sign of Pisces, which she loves being in the sign of Pisces. Venus is said to be exalted in the sign of Pisces. She kind of is at her kind highest love energy. But on the way to this eclipse, Venus has moved into Pisces. As I record, she is at the end of Aquarius and she has passed Saturn, kind of letting go of some of the old rules, self-limiting beliefs and boundaries and restrictions that have stopped you kind of stepping into your higher self or into your connection with the cosmos or the energy within, the cosmos within. And Venus on this eclipse is about to conjunct Nessus, the revealer of generational abuse. Now, Venus is in an uncomfortable aspect with the south node of which this eclipse is a south node eclipse. So to my mind, this is saying it's a quincunx or in conjunct, whatever you prefer to call it. This to my mind is saying we really do are being called, excuse me, are being called to make an adjustment based on what's been revealed and what's come up. And that brings me to that healing journey again. We are really learning that we, this system, as we, a human, are all that we have in some ways. And the more whole we become, and the more work we do to self-individuate, love ourselves, care for ourselves, and care for our soul, our seat of consciousness, the more whole we become, and the more that we are able to be in healthier relationships with others. A lot, some of this will be based on all this revealing of generational abuse that has been happening over and over as Centaur Nessus has been activated over and over for the last while. Nessus is a really interesting centaur, and I'm not going to go into huge details about him, but just thinking of the centaurs who are all very active on this eclipse, by the way. They are half man, half human, half and half animal, half horse, half human, I should say, not half man, because they are, you know, centaurs were half human consciousness, seat of consciousness, and then half this animal body. And really, we are being asked to come into wholeness with that, to reconnect with our humanness or humanity. Who am I? I love this play on human. Here on earth, connect with the earth. I don't find there's any mistake that I am being drawn as we move into this energy to connect with the earth more and more, or that I'm called to listen to books like I'm listening to Sharon Blackie's If Women Rose Rooted, written very much for women, but I see it more as our human connection with the earth and with acknowledging that we are intimately interconnected with this earth. This is our home. You know, the earth su sustains us and connects us. And how are we kind of living in symbiosis with the earth? I've talked about this over and over. You know, I kind of got upset with somebody the other day who was creating like this religion of we've got to kind of colonize the outer space and things like that. Well, you know, it's a bad idea for so many reasons. We're just not built to live out there, live sustainably. Terraforming, terrible idea. Anyway, but that's my opinion. If you're into it, then fine. But my opinion is the astrology is telling us, and the discovery of the centaurs since Chiron was discovered in 77 is telling us to connect with that half human and half animal side. We are mammals, we are animals on this earth, connected with the earth. Mushrooms have share so much DNA with us. You know, we're connected to everything that is. Nature science is telling us that now. And the astrology tells me that these centaurs are online, if you like, because they are telling us to reconnect with that side of ourselves and bring healing to ourselves and the everything else that's living on Earth and the Earth itself. Anyway, enough ranting. So that's Venus and Nessus. So, you know, a lot might come up about how we've abused the earth and jet for generations and how we have abused each other for generations. We can see that coming up already. So I won't don't need to kind of say any more. Now Nessus and Venus are at the midpoint of two other energies that are on this eclipse, and I mentioned them already, but the South Node is in a supportive trine aspect to Caraclo in Aquarius, the grace spinner, the space holder, the weaver of new stories. And this is Libra and Aquarius. This is air. And this is saying it's time to write this new story. Caraclo has patiently been holding space for us to start writing this new story of the self and of the collective as we move into the future, into this in the sign of Aquarius. What do we hope and wish for? So all the things that are coming up, all the relationships that we'll look at on this lunar eclipse, it's we are there to look at them and to process this with our minds and to say, what do I want this to look like going forward? What do I need to release to stop me creating this new story? And then the other centaur that's, you know, Nessus is in the middle of and Venus is in the middle of is Chiron that's still on the North Node. How do we unlock the key to healing this I am energy and kind of saying, this is me, this is who I am. I'm kind of operating from this I am seat of consciousness, healthy energy, finding myself, and then taking action to be a part of the healing and the change that's coming. Then Mercury is kind of really the ruler of air signs, and Mercury is conjunct Eris, as I mentioned before. Mercury is conjunct the truth teller in Aries, the sign of I am. This is the table shaking thoughts. These are the thoughts that are going to come through as we head towards this eclipse and on this eclipse and after. You know, how, what is my place in the world? What I'm finding myself. So now, what is my place when I go, here I am, and I kind of throw that apple into the wedding of the collective, if you like, and say, I'm going to shake up how I speak my truth and how I take a stand for myself. That's kind of what it feels like. And then Mercury and Eris are in a lovely aspect to Hecate, the way shower, who is right here behind. She's the keeper of the keys to the shamanic realms. We are moving so much into a time of feeling that interconnectedness and of moving into how can we operate in the current timeline and live in that shamanic creative realms to really heal ourselves and come into wholeness, mind, body, and spirit, and then take action to create what we want to see in the world. Hecate is the crossroads, she is the goddess who stands at the crossroads with her lamp, her torch, lighting the way. It's not just to the underworld, but she does show our way into our underworld, which is the root of our being. But Hecate is also has the keys to all the realms. She is the crossroads. She is saying, which way will you go? Will you choose wholeness? Will you choose Leo, which is ruled by the sun? And the sun is in Aries. And this is about staying true to the cave of your heart, or the atlas of your heart, if you like to quote one of Brené Brown's books. Anyway, a couple of other things, and then we'll move on. The eclipse, and I didn't mention this when I showed the chart, actually, but the nodes on the eclipse are also square to Ceres in Capricorn. Ceres, and that's a square to the nodes, which is a turning point. And Ceres then is moving towards the Aries North Node. So moving away from that Libra South Node. And Ceres in Capricorn is asking how our needs have not been met by the structures we have been living under, whether that's the structure of the family that you were born into, the structure of the family that you are in now, or the structure of the greater structures, the societal, cultural structures we're living in. We are being asked to examine how those support our needs or unmet needs, whichever comes up for you. Vesta opposing the galactic center. Vesta's in Gemini, which is Mercury ruled again. So we've got Mercury conjunct Eris, kind of shaking tables and shaking things up. And Vesta is about the inner flame, as I mentioned, but also the heart of the state. But I'm not going to kind of talk about that too much. But she's in Gemini, the sign of community, connection, the twins, the coming together. And Vesta is opposing the galactic center on this eclipse. The defrag, the truth, bringing in new truths, helping us to take a different perspective and learn some new truths. So you can see that even though this eclipse is, you know, a lot of people are kind of dismissing it in a way because it's not a total eclipse. We've got a really big new moon eclipse coming up on April the 8th, a solar eclipse. It's pretty big because of all the other aspects. So there's a lot of shifting and adjustments on this eclipse. If I could sum it up in a few words, I would say this eclipse, with the emphasis on the North Node in Aries, is asking us to find that inner balance and then to shine a light on our seat of consciousness. And it's more another big step in our becoming of who I am, or finding who we are at our core now in this new world after crazy changes that we've been going through. And while I remind you to please, subscribe and thumbs up and comment and all that, I just want to remind you of what what this Sarah series, according to Bernadette Brady's, is about. Inventiveness and flashes of genius are the hallmark of this series. Intuitive leaps, insights, good ideas, visions, vivid dreams, newfound inspiration, but it's all pulling us, at least temporarily, away from a lot of social life, a lot of relational interaction, because we need to take a step back to find ourselves and look at those relationships. And this all makes sense when we look at the symbols as well. So first, I am going to read the Sabian symbol, and I am reading from Linda Hill's website in this case. She did a really good interpretation of these symbols as well in her book, Linda with a Y, that is. So the Sabian symbol for the for six Libra, because the we always go up, so it's 5 degree Libra lunation, we go up to Libra six, is a human, it's a man, but I like to say human, a human watches their ideals taking a concrete form before they're in a vision. So I'll read that again. A human watches their ideals, that's very Aquarius, by the way, and we've got those aspects to that, taking a concrete form before their inner vision. Okay. So she says of this, this symbol is one of the Sabian symbols that speak directly to the idea of the law of attraction, which is Venus is very related to the law of attraction, by the way, because Venus is related to earthly desires, but values, relationships. I'm not talking about saying I want a red bicycle. It's, you know. Anyway, so she says that it's related to the idea of the law of attraction. As a person imagines, so does their outer reality take shape and bring to them what they were imagining. In your life, you'll find vivid examples of thoughts becoming things. Other times they may happen without you really realizing it. Ideals are not only brought into the light of reality, but they are put to the test. This shows the ability to be able to visualize your thoughts and feelings, and it possible, and if possible, to project your creative ideas out into the world. What you think will happen can happen. So she says, you know, there may be some confrontations with your objectives, but she says this is also about meditations and affirmations. She says, be very mindful of what you're putting out there in the world, what you say you desire. Okay. It can be related to being writing as well, and publishing and writing your blogs, designs, plans, things like that. I would say, you know, I have a friend who owns a business called Ideal Life Vision, and it's a really good time to write your ideal life vision, but make it really meaty. Make it about what you really emotionally desire in your families, your relationships, your work, how you want to be, how you want to exist. This is not just about like a vision board with like $1 million on it. This is deeper. The caution is being dissatisfied with what was thought to be the ideal, and not being careful what you ask for, okay? And a tendency sometimes to focus on the negative that might bring in the negative. So that's her caution. So let's go to the other symbols, and then we're done, because it's a big eclipse. I want you to have time to process this. So I will provide a link to the, will I provide it? Well, the on YouTube, there will be the transcript. I'll see if it's on Spotify as well. But anyway, Libra 6 again, going up. The Omega symbol. These are John Sandbach's symbols, okay, from his blog. He's the person that actually channeled these symbols. So on Libra 6 is on the Omega symbol is on a long voyage, many icebergs encountered. So, this is saying look out for what's hidden and beneath, in my opinion. He says you do not operate by agendas, for you are always aware that everything is changing, and so the path ahead always changes. You sense the feelings of everyone around you, especially the emotional places of blockage and pain, and know how to move with and through those in a smooth, almost invisible manner. You have the potential of getting a tremendous amount of things accomplished, albeit usually slowly and gradually. So, to my mind, this is kind of saying, a lot of these icebergs, if you like, could appear as, the things about what other people, opinions, thoughts, agendas, needs, as you find your core self. Now, the Chandra symbol, last thing, is always a weird one. We've had it a few times over the last year or so, but it's a baby with two sets of teeth. This degree has a great desire to take in nourishment from all its relationships. Its question is always, of what value is this encounter to me? What can I give to it and what can I get from it? It senses the spiritual truth that nothing comes its way that is not for the purpose of furthering its spiritual development. And so it's eager to assimilate experiences, to chew on them, as it were, to get the new most nutritional benefit out of them possible. It doesn't like to let go of anything until it understands it, or at least feels it has gotten something of what it needs from it. All of this is carried out in a very innocent, open manner that will eventually inevitably lead to the problems alluded by the icebergs of the Omega symbol, but which can benefit the soul tremendously. So to just go back, it's who am I, in these relationships? Are these relationships right? But I do want to say one thing, that the most important relationship, balance, healing, self-care, self-love. Mwah. Happy eclipse whenever you watch this. You'll feel this coming already. So, know that it's on the way and you'll be starting to work on this. I'm going to set this to release, scheduled on the 10th after the new moon. So you've got the full time from the new moon to the full moon to work on what this eclipse is bringing, or to start working on it. Much love.